Bible study. We want to look this morning at a subject on exercising towards reverence and godliness. I know there's a lot can be said on this, and a lot of good points made on this as far as we should show godliness in our lives and how we do that. Have your Bibles be turned to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll read verses 1 through 8. Paul, there in writing to the young preacher Timothy, says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, even these who produce the spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing is to be refused, or nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister." And Paul is telling Timothy, if you put those in remembrance of these things of Jesus Christ, the minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith, of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable to all things, having the promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. So in verse 6, Paul says these things, he's having reference to those things that he mentioned in verses 1 through 5. And Paul there tells Timothy to warn the brethren against the teaching of these seducing spirits in verse 4. That every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if be received with thanksgiving. In verse 7, he says, "But refuse profane and old wise fable, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Not to do what those above in those verses were teaching, but we are to exercise ourselves, and Paul is telling Timothy, unto good things. Exercise just simply means to train. And Paul here relates what to be trained the most. That is, we're to be trained in the Word of God. We're to exercise our mind to the Word of God. Paul makes reference in other scriptures that as an athlete trains himself to run a race, he has one particular function in mind, and that is to win that particular race. And so we today, as individuals, we run the race ourselves, that we are the only one who will win that race. In doing that, we must profess godliness in our life. You can train the mind to either do good or evil. Depends on which one, who you're following, either Satan or God. But you can train your mind to do evil as well as good. So we need to school ourselves that we can restrain from our passions, our lust and worldly ambitions, and to use a spiritual mind that we may practice godliness. If we do that, we have the promise of life in verse 8, as we read there. Reverence carries with it various meanings, the word reverence. We are to reverence God, but it can mean shame or ashamed because of something you have done. It can mean regard, fear, or respect. So I am to exercise my mind that I may show the proper respect that I need. And how do we do that? We've talked a lot, and we understand that all develop minds maybe quicker than others in certain things. A lot of people have an easier time understanding certain scriptures, where others may not understand at that moment what is teaching, but maybe over the course of time they come to know things. And so the development of the mind, sometimes quicker for some, but again, it may be slower for others. And so we each have these problems. Certain verses and things give us a lot of problems that we read. But we're still to study. We have people who are maybe we may call weak, that the stronger individuals that we're told in the scripture that we are to help grow, that they may ascertain a certain position as far as what the scriptures say. Will some of us ever learn as much as others? No. But what we do have to know, that we move on from a baptism to be able to defend the gospel to a certain point. And we may not, as I said, mentioned, as you mentioned, others, things may come up in our lives, people ask us, we may not know. But you ask somebody else, and they may know. Again, we're not all on the same level as far as what the knowledge that we obtain. So we need to keep that in mind, but we do know that we can move on from the first principle to a certain point in our life. And that may be where it stops. But we are told to move on in Hebrews, as far as the milk, we ought to move on with it to solid food. We can eat certain other things. And that may be in others that they can eat more than what we can. But it's something that we have to obtain. Godliness, to be devout, carries with his the idea of a godly attitude. I seek to do that which is well pleasing to him because of the respect or for the reverence that I have for God. So the question being asked, how do we develop this in our lives? How do I train myself that I may have proper reverence for God and seek to do that which pleases him? Can you have reverence for the devil, respect for the devil? People in the world. Sure. If you're doing what he says, who are you respecting? You're not respecting God, so you just have the two options. You ever have reverence for God, or the acts and deeds that you're doing show your reverence and respect for the devil. For he is the father of this world. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. The writer says the strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So your senses can be what? Good and evil. Develop how you develop what you want to develop, to who you want to follow. So you can follow either Satan or God. The word use have had their senses used means it's an habitual practice or routine acquired behavior. If we use our mind, we have a habitual practice or routine that we do every day. If we're serving God, our routine is what? We serve God every day. If we're serving the devil, our routine is what? We serve the devil. So it's something you do constantly. It's an everyday that we are awake, I guess you want to say, every day of our life. It's something that we're doing for the one that we reverence, that being God. The King James Interlinear reads this way, but for the fully grown is solid food, who on account of habit and the senses exercised have for distinguishing both good and evil. So if you're on solid food, you can distinguish between right and wrong. And you can show others where they're wrong as far as teaching what is right and wrong. So solid meat belongs to those who are of full age. They have reached maturity because they've had their senses exercised. And I say this varies in individuals. And I may never obtain the knowledge Larry or Donnie or Garrett has, but I can obtain a certain thing that's in my ability to obtain. And so we need to use our ability. There may come a point where that's as far as it goes. But I have reached that point. I went from milk to some solid food. And so that's something that we need to strive for. And in doing that, I'm professing godliness in my life. That I understand what God demands of me. Therefore, my life will be built around that. Proper growth can never come by milk. Milk will never cause one's senses to be exercised that they may be discerned from good and evil. Your senses are those organs by which man is able to observe and see or perceive that they see. We can see things, we perceive what it's talking about, we understand what it's talking about, we apply those things to our life. But again, as we mentioned, we can discern both good and evil. And notice we are to exercise our senses that we may know both of these. I need to know what's wrong. If you just simply look at it, if you know what's good, then you'll know everything else is sin. So that's what we need to understand. I know what's good. I know what the Bible teaches me is good. Therefore, when it says, do not steal, and I do not steal, then I know what good is. And opposite, I know what evil is. It's sin. It's stealing. or anything you do in life. His cheeks are so thin. Nobody will part.
What's your finger?
So in that, solid food produces this result as far as knowing what God desires of me. Milk will never do that. There's a danger, therefore, of staying in that particular act of obedience, of staying there. There's a danger in that. Because we know the Bible fully warns us to move on some type of solid food. And so there's a danger if a person stays in that in their life, and they fall because they don't know what else the Bible teaches concerning that step. So many fall victim to the devil. And I often think of the number of congregations here a few years ago, how many do no longer exist. They were more or less had the older, elderly type people in them. Evidently no teaching was done as far as the children or the grandchildren. Those congregations no longer exist. And to me, and I might be wrong, it shows they didn't move from the first salt of milk onto something. Or if they had, they would have known the responsibility to teach those others. That congregation, those congregations that went on existing. But they failed. And so, the congregation here, are we helping the weak here to grow? Are we helping our children to grow, to be obedient, our grandchildren? If we do not, eventually this will come to an end. That's the responsibility that God has given us, to teach our children, teach our grandchildren. They were told that under the old law, as far as concerning the law of Moses. Teach your children, day and night. Always teach them. If you don't, you can see eventually what happened to Israel overall, not to all Israel, but the majority of what happened to Israel. They went to idolatry. Why? They were not being taught. And I'm saying this, this happens today. So I know congregations here and other congregations that have failed because of this. So we must understand what is good and what is evil. The only way we can know this, if we have been, it has been revealed to us, which it has through God's Word. Does God's Word tell us what's good and evil? Yes. We'll look at some verses on this. John chapter 3. We understand good, do we have, understand, we have a godliness in our life that God desires for us to have. John chapter 3, verse 20. Christ says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. So you have someone that loves evil, you have someone that loves light. Those who are evil hateth the light. They hate Christians, they hate God. And again, John 8:44, they love the Father of this world. So good and evil in these verses refer to light and darkness. Which one are people in today? The majority, they're in darkness. So we come to understand that evil is the very opposite of light, and light's the very opposite of darkness. Why do some practice good and some practice evil? When you look at verse 19 of John chapter 3, Christ says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Who was the light that came into the world? It was Christ. And so he says here, this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men don't like the light. They love the darkness, the things that they think nobody sees as far as their sins and stuff. Anymore, they don't even care who sees the sins and stuff that goes on in today's world. All the looting, the robbing, the killing, it's done up in public. It's on film, TV. They don't care. Used to, if you're a thief, you didn't want to be seen, period. Even though you may do those acts of darkness, but light has come into the world. So every person will practice and exercise himself that which he loves. If you love darkness, then you will do the deeds of those in darkness. Matthew chapter 12. verse 35, Christ our Savior is a good man of a good treasure of his heart, and this is the godly heart, one that reverences God. Now the treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. If your heart is good, the only thing you can produce is what? Good things. You're not going to produce evil things. But there are good things in that. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures of his heart, bringeth forth what? There's no half and half. It's either good or bad. And you're going to produce whatever your heart is. If you can understand what good is, you have no, again, problem understanding what evil or bad is. Because the Bible directs us to that. Psalms chapter 73. Verse 1. Psalms there says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. That's a pure heart. That's one that reverences God. It says that God is good to those who walk in the light. But his face is set against those who do evil. Everything that comes from God is good. It's pure, it's clean. The heart describes an attribute I must have to determine what is good. My mind. I must determine by God's word, not my word or what somebody else says or what the laws of the land states. But I must determine myself what God's word says for my life to be pure. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah's vision here, that was from God concerning Israel. As we look at, we'll look at verse 11, when Isaiah is writing to him, he says, for what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. Let me ask you a question, think. Is the reason you're here this morning is to truly worship God and do His will, or it's something that you've just done over the years that you've come? Because you don't want nobody to say nothing to you. I fear a lot of times in my thoughts that that's the reason people come here. It may not be. I might be misrepresenting that. But you have to ask yourself that question. Why did you come this morning? Was it reverence for God, that you may live a godly life? Or because that's just a habit we've got into of doing each and every Lord's Day or each and every Wednesday night, whatever, when we assemble. Verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations, incense, and an abomination to me. The new moon, the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It's an iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Verse 14. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. If your purpose was just a simple assembly, because that's what you do, as this verse says here, my soul hateth thee, because you've not come for the right purpose. Verse 15 through 20. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Do you think that every prayer that you pray, that God hears that prayer? Do you think you're in the right relationship all the time with God, that He'll always hear that prayer? That's the only way God's going to hear that prayer. You'll not hear if we're not doing what He says. Wash ye, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together. Say, Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Verse 19, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you refuse, refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Of which of these sides are we on today? The learning to do good, I cease from doing evil. Justice is the quality of being right. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 24, Moses said, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as he is to this day. So in order to be preserved, that we may have eternal life, we must do as Moses talked about here, the children of Israel, we must follow those commandments that God has given us this day. I learned that if I'm not to do what is good, it must come through, if I learn what to do is it must come through God's laws. This is how I manifest godliness in my life.
Seal, you have to wonder of each family, maybe it's represented here, which family will be a generation loss. Because kids have not been taught, kids have not shown respect. And it talked about the Israelites when you hear Jubilee that the land was to have its rest. When the Israelites fell to worship God, he put them, that's when they went into captivity. He says, you've not kept the Sabbath, you've not assembled, but your land will have its rest. You won't have your, and that's when they went to captivity. Same thing could happen to America. When the Christians are not fulfilling the responsibilities, they could go to where we won't have the right to assemble one day. And the rate we're going right now, it's going that way.
On a positive note, when I look around, these young children, some grandchildren have been taught by their parents. They are now Christians. So this is being taught here. But it's something must go on. When that child is taught, they come to the age of accountability, they're taught, they obey the gospel, they have children, they will carry that on, as Marilyn talks about. Have we taught them well? Have they grown well enough that they will carry that through when we're gone? It's something that we need, if you will, to think about. It didn't take long for Israel to apostatize after the laws were given. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 16. We're commanded as those who profess godliness, let our light shine before man. They may see our good works, glorify our Father who is in heaven. Our influence can have a great effect on people. So we understand that the only way we can glorify our Father is by good works, which He has revealed to us. Jesus said this concerning John chapter 17, verse 4, I have glorified you by doing your will on earth. Who's our example today? It's Christ. We do as Christ did, and we glorify our Father also. As Christ went about doing good, and by doing the will of the Father, so we must also. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul there says in writing to the church of Ephesus, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Christ was our example. When we follow Christ, then we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're to walk, meaning that it's a habit or a pattern that we do every day of our life. And sometimes we stumble, well, sure. We understand the Bible teaches it, but when we stumble, we immediately make correction for that. It's something that we do not let go or do not go to God in prayer for. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto the pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge. Again, this idea that we must grow, and we're to increase. And again, I say, all of us might not increase to the same level of knowledge, okay? But we are to increase to a point that's as far as we can go. To know how to put knowledge to use, We must, it says, to fill to the full. So we must try to fill ourselves to the full of the ability that we have concerning God's Word. We need wisdom and understanding today. As Paul prayed for those at Colossae, to obtain this, one must have the desire that we are only going to serve the God of heaven. So the question, how do I exercise myself towards reverence and godliness? I must have a proper respect for God's Word. As such, I will pattern my life what He has told me to do. But this can only be accomplished if I fully understand the statutes and the laws that He has given me. Only then can I know what is good. Any thoughts? Okay, thank you.